Please turn with me in God's precious word to Malachi again, chapter 3, a portion of scripture that we've read. I promise I will not keep you for an hour and a half, though you would not listen to me for an hour and a half, but I guarantee you will be out the door no matter what time we finish tonight. Malachi chapter 3, I'll just read verse 6, that's the first we want to bring tonight with the Lord's help. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, the word of the Lord says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." Amen. We know the Lord will bless the reading of his inspired word. Let's just briefly unite our hearts together as we seek the Lord in prayer. Our eternal God and most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to thee, O God, just now, and we need thy help. But I ask of thee that thou wilt stand beside me. Give me help to bring forth thy word. Fill me with the Holy Ghost and with power. Lord, may we be zealous for the things of God. We pray for thy people, O God, this night. We look unto thee that thou wilt come and revive us again. Lord, as that deer panteth for the water brook, so our soul longs after thee. O God, give us a hunger and a thirst after righteousness. We pray today for any outside of Jesus Christ. O God, we pray this night that sinners will be rescued as the gospel net is cast forth. O God, we pray this night that men and women and young people will taste and see that the Lord is good, the only Saviour of sinners. Father, help us now for the Saviour's sake. Amen. Throughout the book of Malachi, the prophet of the Lord was sent to the children of Israel to deliver the Lord's message. The name Malachi simply means a messenger. And therefore, as the Lord's servant, the prophet of the Lord, was to deliver his message, he was to give the message to a people who had turned their back on God. They were living in disobedience. They had gone away from the Lord. They had lived in rebellion against the Lord. But the message was still, "Return on to the Lord. Return on to me." The prophets of old had spoken concerning the prophecies of Messiah, the one who would come into this world to give his life a ransom, the one who would come to die on the cross of Calvary. And until these promises were fulfilled, the people had to wait. But they did not want to wait. They started to accuse God, thinking that he had neglected his promises. They were wanting a Christ, but they were not wanting the Christ of God. They wanted one who would come to be a king, to rule, one who would come to do what they wanted him to do, to have great victories, to bring material blessing and material worth. And therefore, they started to accuse the Lord and started to doubt his promises. We learn in Malachi chapter 1, verse 2, and throughout the whole book, there are seven different accusations, but I'll not go through all seven tonight, but simply there in Malachi chapter 1, verse 2, here is a message from the Lord. "I have loved you, saith the Lord." And here is the response. "Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us?" Verse 7, "Ye have polluted bread upon mine altar. And ye say, wherein have we polluted thee?" And all through the book, this language seems to continue. But it is in the fourth accusation, in Malachi chapter 2, verse 17, where the people accuse God of doubting and changing his promises. And they say these words, "Where is the God of judgment? Everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them." Where is the God of judgment? Where is the one who will come and bring us this success? Where is the one who will come and conquer our enemies, defeat our enemies? Where is the God of judgment? You see, to them, they believed that the Lord was taking pleasure in the very fact that his people were being trodden down and the ungodly were increasing. They said these words, "He delighteth in them." They could see that the wicked were prospering and they were accusing God, "Lord, you've changed. Where is the one who would come? Where is this mighty deliverer? We're still waiting for him to come. Where is the God of judgment?" And therefore, the Lord gives them the message. And it's not uncommon for God's people to look around the world and see the wicked increasing. How many have come to that conclusion even today? where they see those in power, those who live rebellious lives, those who live immoral lives, and they seem to be getting higher and higher at the top of the ladder, if you could say it like this. And we seem to ask this question, how does the wicked seem to be increasing to high positions, and the godly seem to be put down low? And we learn this same question was given in Psalm. If you turn with me to Psalm 73, this same thought was given in Psalm 73 of a man called Asaph. And it says there in Psalm 73, verse 1. Psalm 73, verse 1. Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Verse 3. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Down the verse 12. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verse 14. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. And here is he speaking about the ungodly. They seem to be progressing, but he seems to be decreasing. Verse 17. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Verse 25. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they are far from thee shall perish, and thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. And here the psalmist simply says, only when I understood their end, only when I went into the house of the Lord, only then through the word that I understand that in the last day, when the Lord shall come back in all his glory, then shall the wicked perish. And here we have that great day when the Lord will come back. And dearly beloved, one day the Lord will return in all his glory, in all his power, in all his authority, when he shall rule and he shall reign, when he shall make his enemies his footstool, and every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. And the whole point is this here. The message is to the people from the Lord, I have not changed. For my son, Messiah, he will come. He will be born of the virgin. The covenant messenger, he will come. And then he will die. He will give his life a ransom. He will go. And one day he will return again to rule and to reign. And therefore the Lord says, who shall abide at the appearing of his coming? And he says, I am the Lord. I change not. I do not change in my promise. I do not change in my covenant. Everything I have said, it will all be fulfilled in my own time, my own way. But I have not changed. And therefore, I want to speak to you simply tonight about the immutability of God. The immutability of God. Simply, the word means the unchanging God of heaven. Notice, first of all, the Lord is immutable concerning his person. For the Lord is immutable concerning his person. I am the Lord, I change not. Now the word immutable simply means no change. If you take the word mutate, that means to change, a change of substance. But immutability means there is no change. So we're saying here, God is without change. He does not change. He does not change in his essence. He does not change in his nature. He does not change in his being. Who he is, he does not change. And dearly beloved, this is the bedrock of our salvation. This is the foundation. Because if you believe God does change, then you will doubt his salvation the rest of your life. But the very fact, he does not change, he cannot change, he will not change. There is no possibility of him ever changing. And therefore he says, I am the Lord, I change not. He does not change. There is nothing from within him or without him that can cause him to change. He does not increase. He does not decrease. He does not grow in knowledge. He does not change. We have a word of surety. We have a promise that we can hold on to, because every single day in our life, we change. The country changes. The weather changes. Our health changes. Everything about us simply changes every single day. And therefore, we are glad that we can come to our refuge, the Savior, and know that He does not change. And that may be for you who are burdened down with sin, you who are under the weight of iniquity and the wrath of God abiding to you, upon you. Well, you can say like the psalmist, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. It may be there's someone here who are struggling with the things of the flesh. It may be the job. It may be the doctors. It may be the health has changed. And yet we can come to our refuge. For the name of the Lord is a high tower, and the righteous runneth into and are safe. He has promised to provide for all his people. And maybe there's one here today, and you started your Lord's Day with the best intentions. Lord, I'm going to please you today. Lord, this day is going to be a day when I will be straight to the mountaintop. And as you get to the end of the day, you've realized, Lord, I have failed in what I set out to do. I have changed. But he does not change. The words were given to Moses in Exodus chapter 3 when the Lord sent Moses to be that deliverer of the people of Israel when they were in bondage. And Moses said to the Lord, when I come to the children of Israel, what shall I say unto them? Who shall I send who shall I say that sent me? And the Lord responds, say unto them, I am that I am has sent you. I am God, absolute God. He needs permission of none. He seeks advice from none. He needs support from none. He is the unchanging God of heaven. Psalm 102, verse 25 to 27 says this here. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years have no end. He does not change. From everlasting to everlasting, he is God. We learn in James chapter 1, verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And the phrase there, shadow of turning, simply signifies no shifting shadow, no shade. You'll know that when you're outside and it's warm and there's a bit of shade and you try to stay under that shade, and then soon that shade moves and you try to move over where the shade is just to get out of the heat. And therefore the Lord's saying, just as that shade changes, I do not change. There's no turning with me. There's no changing of shadow with me. It says, with whom is no variableness. And that word variableness simply signifies to change. So you could say, with him is no variableness. With him is no change. And the word there, variableness, simply comes from an original meaning, simply denotes a change from an established position. And the best way to illustrate this is this here. If you enjoy James chapter 1, verse 17, with whom is no variableness, a change from an established position. If you go to the doctor, some doctors do this, maybe they do, maybe they don't, all of them. But if you get a pen, now you can do this now if you're not embarrassed, or you can wait till you go home to do it in front of the mirror, it's up to yourself. But if you get a pen, or else you get a finger in front of your face, And if you close your left eye, and then you move to the other eye, and keep doing that back and forth like this, it will appear as if the pen has changed. It will appear as if the pen has moved, or your finger will appear as if it has moved, but it has not. It's in the same position. But the angle that you have looked at it has changed, seems to have changed. And therefore, here is the message. The Lord says, I have not changed. But how my people look at me, they look at me as if I have changed. But all the time I have not. They have lost their focus. They have got off balance. They have turned from me. They have rejected me. They have gone back. They have lived in disobedience. And therefore, it appears to them as if I have changed. But I haven't changed. For I am the Lord. I change not. Chapter 2, verse 8 of Malachi. Ye have departed out of the way, and caused many to stumble at the law. Verse 11. Ye have not kept my ways. And therefore the people, because they had lived their own life, because they started to accuse God of things weren't happening when they wanted it to happen, how they wanted it to happen, what way they sought things to happen. Lord, you have changed because we want this to happen. We want this Messiah to come now, and we want them to do this and to do that, and it has not happened. And therefore you have changed what you said you would do. But I have not changed. And therefore, dear child of God, this is the basic principle, the foundation. He does not change. Whether from the very youngest believer to the very oldest, we need to grasp this. For he does not change. Because when we go through a trial, when we go through a trouble, we must remember he does not change. You learn how to drive, or you learn how to play music, or you learn a different language, you'll know that there are certain principles that are taught, and you have to take those principles and develop them. You take a language, you take music. If you don't practice that, if you don't live out those notes or the things that you're being taught, if you don't use them, you will soon forget them. And the next time, if you leave it for a long period of time and you go to play a note, you may forget. And this is what's happening here. Here is a principle. The Lord does not change. But when we stop reading the Word, when we stop praying, when we stop living for the Lord, we forget these principles. And therefore, when things happen in our life, when things come upon our life, we think, He has changed. He does not change. He is immutable concerning His person. I change not. Notice secondly, the Lord is immutable concerning His pledge. For he says, I am the Lord, I change not. And the word Lord there is in capitals. And it's signifying the name of Jehovah, the covenant-keeping God, the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And therefore, the one whom the Lord would send, the messenger of the covenant, he would be the one who would purchase redemption for all his people. In Exodus chapter 6, verse 2, again, when the people of Israel were in their bondage and the Lord would send a great deliverer for them, the words were given to Moses, I am the Lord. I am Jehovah. I will bring my people out of bondage. I will deliver them from the snare. I will bring them out of Egypt. For he is the messenger of the covenant. And therefore, he is the one who came into this world to be obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. For he came with a purpose, and that was to give his life a ransom for the many. He came into this world not to call the righteous, but to call sinners to repentance. And men and women here tonight, you need to look on to Jesus, the Savior, the mighty one, the only one who can take away your sin. For there is no other Savior. He is the one sent forth in the fullness of time, sent forth to be the deliverer for sinners, the one sent forth to purchase redemption, to redeem sinners. And the word redeem simply means to buy back. From the slave market of sin, Jesus came to buy sinners back. And how did he buy sinners? How did he pay the ransom price? How did he pay the penalty of sin? He paid it with his own blood. For the messenger of the covenant, This covenant of grace was ratified, was purchased, was confirmed by the shedding of the blood. And therefore, you're bought with a price, the precious blood of the Savior. We have not been redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but by the blood of the Lamb. And therefore, we can say this night, because He is unchanging, His blood is sufficient to save the vilest of sinners who truly believes. Men and women, tonight, I am glad that I can say that there is power in the blood of the Lamb to save the vilest offender who truly believes. The blood has never lost its power. The blood will never lose its power. Why? Because it is the blood of the everlasting covenant. And because He does not change, His power of His blood will not change as well. And this can thrill your heart, child of God, to know that you're safe and secure in the arms of God. This is His pledge. As the messenger of the covenant, He came into this world in the covenant of grace, in the councils of eternity, came to buy back sinners. And therefore, because of this pledge, dear unsaved one today, you can be saved. Because of this pledge, dear child of God, you will never be lost. We learn, if you turn with me to Psalm 89. Psalm 89, a great psalm, one of my, favorite psalms. A psalm that you never hear too many people preach from or even comment on. But it is a psalm all about the covenant. And the context is taken from 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 16. It talks about the covenant with David, that thy kingdom shall be established forever. Before thee, thy throne shall be established forever, referring to Messiah, the promise of the Lord, that the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever and ever, and of his kingdom shall be no end. And therefore, when we talk about this covenant, notice, he says here, Psalm 89, verse 1. Psalm 89, and verse 1 says, check my notes, Psalm 89, verse, verse 3. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David, my servant. And if you pop down there, simply to verse 30, to 31, notice these words. And this is this covenant. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie on to David. And here is these words. These words that are given in this covenant. Notice those words in verse 34. My covenant will I not break, nor alter that thing that has gone out of my mouth. And as the Lord speaks, he speaks about the people in verse 30. If they forsake my law and walk not in my judgments. Notice, if they break my statutes. And here it is, if they break my statutes, if they break my law, if they break their promises to me, yet my covenant I will not break to them. How many promises have we made to the Lord? How many times have we said, Lord, I'll not do this, I'll not go here, I'll not say that, I'll not think this. And we make vows unto the Lord. And yet we break that vow. We break that promise. We don't see it fulfilled. And the Lord says here, they may break their promise to me. They may break my law. They may violate my law. But my covenant, my promise, what I make with them, I will never break it. I will never violate it. I will not go back on my word. Notice what the Lord also says. Verse 34, my covenant I will not break nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. And the word alter, it simply means to change. It means to double cross. And it's the same word here used in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. I am the Lord, I change not. I am the Lord, I alter not. I am the Lord, I double cross not. And therefore here is this covenant of redemption. Here is salvation, the purchased redemption, that he gives on to his sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. And he says, that promise that I have made to you, that I will forgive your sins, that I will wash them in the blood, that they have been forgiven as far as the east is from the west, that they will never be held against you anymore. My covenant, what I said I will do, I will not break, I will not go back on my word, I will not change, I will not violate it, I will not double cross you. Yes, you've broken your promise to me. Yes, you've let me down. Yes, you've sinned against me. Yes, you at times have forgotten me. But I will not forget you, because I love you with an everlasting love. And therefore, he says, I am the Lord. I change not. And dear child of God, that ought to thrill our hearts, that he will not go back on his word, that he will not cast us away, that he will not throw us aside. For he says, my covenant, my redemption, my salvation, my promise, I will not go back. I will not double cross. Did not the Savior say when he came into this world in John chapter 6, verse 32, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And the word cast out, it means to expel. And we've said this on many occasions here, that you maybe have, in one point of your life, hopefully you have not been expelled from school. You young people, hope you don't plan to be expelled or ever have been expelled, or someone maybe here has been expelled. But you know to be expelled, it means to be cast out. It means to be kicked out. It means to be no longer accepted. And therefore the Lord says, them that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I will in no wise expel. There will never be a time when you will not be accepted before me. Why? Because I shed my blood for you on the cross of Calvary. I accomplished redemption for all my people. And here is the success of the cross. None will perish for whom Christ died. And you can rest secure that we have a solid rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, all because he said, I do not change. I am Jehovah, the covenant-keeping God, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie unto David. And therefore his holiness, his purity, he makes this promise, he makes this vow. And therefore, here is the guarantee. This is why we can present the gospel message to you, sinner, tonight. Because he does not change. And he said that if you come to him in all your sin, he will forgive you. He will redeem you. He will blot out your iniquities. Repent and be converted. Turn from your sin. Turn from your wicked way. And you can have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Why? Because he does not change. And it's based on his word. You see, if you were to trust for salvation upon your word or upon my word, if you were to depend upon your promise, and as we've seen already today, the promise of our own promises would break. You would never have full assurance. You would never know when you've done enough. You would always be every day, do I need to say this prayer again? Do I need to do this again? Oh, I need to ring up the preacher again to get saved again. I have no doubt. I doubt all the time. But you come here where he says, I am the Lord, I change not. And therefore you can be assured if you come to him this night and you put your faith and trust in him and be washed in that precious blood and have your sin forgiven, you can be assured tonight that it will be well with your soul, because he is Jehovah, the one who delivers his people from their sin. Notice thirdly, not only is the Lord immutable concerning his person, not only is he immutable concerning his pledge, but he is immutable concerning his people. For he says, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. And here is this title, ye sons of Jacob, referring to the people of God. You know Jacob. Jacob means that, his name means that, heel catcher. That supplanter, that deceiver, that twister. The one who deceived his brother in for the birthright. The one who deceived his father. And therefore, the Lord says here, I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Ye are not saved because of who you are or what you have done or the prayer that you prayed. But any basis a sinner is saved is in the basis of the covenant. Because ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And therefore the Lord did not choose us because of our standing. Because we're found here in a free Presbyterian church. For our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And without faith it is impossible to please him. But in his sovereignty and in his mercy, he hath chosen to save sinners. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. And therefore, because we are his people, and because we let him down, and because he does not change, therefore, he will not cast his people away. This means, as a child of God, I and yourself, if you're a child of God, you are forgiven today as much as you ever will be. You are assured right now that your sin is forgiven. You are assured right now that you have a home in heaven. Oh, you don't have to wait until you die. You don't have to have this false philosophy that, well, preacher, I'll just find out one day when I get to glory if it's all well with my soul. No, I say to you right now, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath the Son hath passed from death unto life. And if you are a Christian right now, saved by God's grace, you are assured right now that your sin has been forgiven, past, present, and future. You are assured right now of heaven because of your union in Christ, and he is in glory. He has gone to prepare a place for his people, and he is there waiting for his people or the day that he will come back. And what a thrill that is for his people. You see, the children of Jacob, the sons of Jacob, they deserve to be cast off for their rebellion, for their iniquity, for their crimes against the Lord. And yet, he said, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. You see, dear child of God, tonight, there is nothing you can do to make him love you anymore. And there's nothing you can do to make him love you any less, because he does not change, and therefore he does not change in his love. He loves his people with an everlasting love. And because of that, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Finally, the Lord is not only immutable in his person, in his pledge, in his people, concerning his people, but the Lord is immutable concerning his promise. It says, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. And the word consumed there, it means to perish. Ye sons of Jacob are not consumed, are not perished, are not destroyed. And here is the promise that they who belong to him, there is no condemnation. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. His immutable, his pardon is immutable. Therefore, he cannot lie. He has redeemed his people, forgiven all their sins. Ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. And what a blessing that is for you, dear child of God, tonight. You can be assured tonight that the wrath of God has been lifted from you, that you'll never be in hell, you'll never be punished for your sin, because you shall not perish. But if that's a promise to the believer, and he is immutable and he does not change concerning his promise that you shall not perish, therefore, if there's one here tonight who is in their sin, who is without Jesus Christ, then you need to take this verse to heart. Because that means in your sin, you will perish. That means he is immutable, unchanging in his punishments, and he will punish sin. Whether at the cross through his son, or whether you will be punished in hell. For the wrath of God abides upon those who are outside of Christ. John chapter 3, verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And those words, the wrath of God abideth on him, is in the continual tense, simply means right now the wrath of God is continually abiding under you. You have the sentence of condemnation on your head because of Adam's sin, and you are a child of wrath. And therefore, you will perish in your sin. For the way of the ungodly, they shall perish. The enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of the ram. They shall consume, perish in the smoke. They shall consume away. And therefore, if you are not saved by God's grace tonight, and you die in your sin, you will perish. You will be lost for all eternity. But tonight, here is a word that if you listen to for God's people, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. You can come to him this night and be saved. You can come to this night and have your sin forgiven and be a son of Jacob. And to say, this Savior is my Savior. This unchanging God is my unchanging God. And you can be saved. Dear child of God, tonight, you can rejoice, no matter how old you are in the faith, the many times that we let him down, he will not cast you off, for he does not cast off his people, which he foreknew. If God was to give us what we all deserve, we would all be lost. We would all be in hell. If God was just to bypass us all, he would be just to do so. But because of his mercy and grace, he hath chosen to save sinners. Will you be saved this night for the Savior's sake? Before we sing our closing hymn 260, turn your eyes upon Jesus. We'll just unite our hearts together in prayer. And then we'll hand the meeting back over to Dr. Douglas, and he can close the meeting and say maybe what he wants to say. But you take this time now just to seek the Lord. If you're going through a hard time, a burden, a trial, you're glad, child of God, he does not change. He is unchanging. And the one who helped you last week will help you today and tomorrow. Unsaved one today, you're not saved. You've heard the word of God time after time. Come tonight and be saved. Speak to him now, and he will save you. Lord, we thank thee for thy word tonight. Bless us for the Savior's sake. Amen.